Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Thou hast spoken peace to our hearts, now and hast given us to understand that Thy grace and Thy mercy is available. Thou art ready to come and help us, to forgive us our sins, to deliver us from any bondage we are in, setting us free and strengthening us to serve Thee, guiding us in Thy will, keeping us forever. We thank Thee for it. Add Thy blessing to us now as we study, that we might learn more. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen. We are continuing our study in the Gospel according to Matthew in the 10th chapter, where our Lord Jesus was instructing His apostles as they went out to do His work, to serve Him. And as we read this and study it, we can see in it a guidance for ourselves. I want to pick up the reading in the 10th chapter at the 26th verse. And from here on, let us notice how He is helping His servants to understand what they have to do. He says, "Fear them not, therefore," that is, the critics, the opposers, the persecutors, those who are against you, hostile to you, when you bear witness to the working of God in the soul. "Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. These things that are private to you, these things that you know in your own soul, of what Almighty God has promised to you and will work in you, will actually work out. They will become manifest." I'm not so much sure that this would say that you're going to know other people's secrets, that when it says that there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, I'm not sure that that has to do with people's private affairs, or that there's nothing hid that shall not be known. I'm not sure that has to do with the things that people put, as it were, in their closet that shall be kept secret. Of course, they'll be known to God. No, I think that He is referring to the ministry of those who are revealing to their fellow professing people, fellow believers, you could almost say, other people who say that they belong to God, because remember that this message was taken to the house of Israel, to the fellow, their companions, and is revealing to them the truth of God, the reality that is contained in the promises of God, and how it will actually operate. What's the inner meaning of this promise? What will happen if you really do respond? That's going to be shown. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. What you learn in your private communion with God, when you enter into thy closet and shut the door, and you have personal communion with God, make it plain to other people. Share it with other people. And what you hear in the ear, the things that God reveals to you, preach ye upon the housetops, meaning to say, share it with other people. Tell it out. Now, you see, that's what will disturb people, and that's what will cause people to oppose you. And so he says immediately, "Fear not them which kill the body," those that persecute you physically and humanly, socially, but are not able to kill the soul. They can't hurt you inwardly, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now, I have an idea personally that that refers to God. Some people think that that refers to Satan, but I don't think Satan's got the authority to do it. Only God has that authority. No, I think that what he is saying here is that if I'm going to be afraid of anybody, let me be afraid of God. Let me not be afraid of man. If I'm going to fear anyone and in my own heart and mind order my steps carefully in front of somebody, let it be in front of God, not in front of man. Then he goes on, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear you not, therefore, you're of more value than many sparrows." And he is saying to these servants, you bear out your testimony. You tell the truth as you see it. And trust in God. He will take care of you. Now, as you do this, however, this telling out the truth, it has a significance. Notice verses 32 and 33. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, he will openly admit that he belongs to the Lord and that the Lord is operative in him and he's doing things for the Lord's sake before men. Him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven, which is a very wonderful verse. Because I'm, in confessing him before men, simply, openly identify myself with the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I admit to all people I'm trusting in him. You know what's happening? The Lord Jesus openly admits before his Father that I belong to him and that he is doing for me. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. It's just that important. If I am not willing to line up with the Lord Jesus Christ here, he will not line up with me there. Actually, the positive way of putting this thing is to say that what we do with him now is what he will do with us then. Think of it. Right now I can openly confess to the world that I do trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He will forever openly confess before God he is actually my Savior and will actually take care of me. Now notice verses 34 to 36 to see the impact of the gospel of this offer of the kingdom of God. And here I think we should read slowly and actually take note of the words exactly as they come. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. And how often we hear it put that way. Listen to that again. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I am not come to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foe shall be they of his own household. This, like so many other statements of the Lord Jesus Christ, is something that could easily be misunderstood. But it won't be misunderstood by a sincere heart. What is he saying? He is saying that this offer of the kingdom of God, this truth that God will work in the heart, will be felt wherever the believer lives. And if I'm living in a home with other people, and I'm going to start in that home doing the things that Almighty God wants me to do, I will have folks living right in there with me who think that I'm not cooperative with them. They think I'm not the same as they are. They will think that I'm not thinking of them. Unless they are mature Christians and can understand, then they are with me. Then they too live the same way. But right in your own family, you'll have some people or any people at some times who will feel very human about what's going on. They'll feel very personal. And they will think that if you are doing something for the Lord's sake, that you're not thinking of them. And they have a ground on which to walk. There is a certain sense in which that's true. If your heart and mind is given over to the Lord, you are seeking the Lord's will. And you're not thinking primarily of those that are with you. This doesn't mean you've ignored them. It doesn't mean you're not faithful to them. The actual fact of the matter is that Christian people have a very fine testimony of how they act toward their own people. But they have this also, that they are first belong to the Lord, and then they belong to their own. And I can tell you right now that any parent who would first think of God and then think of the child, I will promise the child will get the best thinking it will ever receive, and the best things will be done for it. But the Lord Jesus here is warning those who would serve him that a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Our biggest opposition will come from the people that we're personally associated with in a routine way. I cannot help constantly to bring out the fact that if we have two people in the home and each know this truth, they are brothers in Christ. Yes. And in the community that you're in, among those people who themselves know what it is to walk with the Lord, there is the joy of fellowship and communion. It's among those that you're associated with in a human way, and you have human dealings with it, that do not know these things. They're the ones that will oppose. I feel sure that that is true. But let us notice now in verses 37 to 39, where he carries this out a bit further. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Now, he's not saying you shouldn't love your parents. He's just saying you shouldn't love them more than you love Christ, more than you love God. That is to say, you should not be thinking of doing the will of your parents more than you're thinking of doing the will of your Father which is in heaven. Loving, you know, is not just sentiment. It's not just the way you feel. It's the way you do. But when you have this, let me propose to your mind where you have this statement in verse 37, that you, where you think of father and mother, suppose you put the word past there. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. The person who is more interested in the past than he is in present dealing with Christ. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. The person who is thinking of his future more than he is thinking of Christ. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. The person who is more interested in the present than he is interested in Christ. Notice how father and mother, that will be the past, son and daughter, that will be the future, and then the cross, that's yourself, that will be the present. All human and social involvements of any kind must be kept in second place if we're serving him. And now we see in the latter part of this chapter, verses 40 to 42, this goes on to say, and really from verse 38 on, it goes on to say, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me. He that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. When anyone so commits himself to Christ as to really seek to do his will and get others to do his will, he shares in all that belongs to Christ. And that amounts to this. We share the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The people that don't want the Lord don't want us. We share the acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ. The people who want the Lord, they want us. So we get blamed for more than we're responsible for, and we get credit for more than we're responsible for. But this all happens in the Lord. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us in these things. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.